When you look across these years, so that was, what, 10, 11 years you were here?
Yes, yeah.
What were some of the key moments within that for you?
The key moments, well, sort of maybe in true Baptist tradition, sort of highlighted them in terms of three areas. And the thing, as we was chatting earlier, I think, Derek, praise and worship. When I say that, I know there's much more to it than music, but as a musician, that side of things has always been big in my heart. There's been a wonderful ministry at Leslie. And again, it's through that ministry of music, isn't it, that not only is it a tool that draws our hearts and minds to focus on the Lord, but I think where there's good praise and worship, as there obviously is here with your own family, it's also evidence of God at work. And so I was keen to sort of develop things a little there. At the point when I joined the church, we had Anne and Margaret, wonderfully gifted ladies on the piano and organ, and as I began playing with the guitar, suddenly all these wonderfully even gifted people, more gifted than myself, came out of the woodwork. Gordon Smith, again John's son, wonderful lad, and a wonderful keyboard ministry. There was folks like my son Chris who suddenly decided to play bass. There's Paul Swain, Paul and Ruth, who I think had just started attending the church, and they're both music teachers. And you know, all these folks came out of the woodwork, Murray Hanvey, Scott Hanvey, and you know, within a short time we had a praise team. And then of course the challenge is managing all that, but equally alongside we had people like Chris Hardy who was, you know, wonderfully gifted on the technical side. And it was just great to be part of a team and see that ministry develop, but recognise not only was it a pleasure for us as musicians, you know, as the church was moving. And there was also a great move of new songs, Vineyard stuff, as God was leading us in that way, and the gifts were coming to the surface. It was lovely just to recognise that, you know, the people in the congregation, I felt, were blessed as well in that journey. So that was one of the highlights, the praise side. I think the other thing of the 3 points, praise and prayer, we started prayer meetings. I'm sure there's always been prayer meetings in the church, but we'd have regular weekly prayer meetings. And as is often the case, it'd be lovely if everybody turned up, but that's never the case, is it? And the Lord Jesus only began with a 12 or so, but we would have a small handful of people who were fairly faithful in the prayer events weekly. We had 24-hour prayer events, and that was amazing. You know, I can recall with Paul Swain and I, very early, 2 or 3 in the morning, where you're so easily could fall into sleep, you know, but just praying and praying. And we began to see some lovely answers to prayer. And one particular, when we look at the community hall next door, which is part of the church since you've been here, I remember walking up the pathway to I think a Tuesday or Thursday prayer evening with Maureen Crichton, maybe Stephen Dell. And I think Maureen looked at the community hall and said, you know, that would be a great asset for the church. I said, yeah, but it probably would, wouldn't it, in terms of where it is, the Scouts and Cubs owned it at the time. And I says, look, why don't we go through the hole in the fence that was there? I trust it's been patched now. But we went through the hole in the fence and we're looking through the window, and the three of us are just like, yeah, this would be ideal for the church, wouldn't it? So as I remember Maureen saying, well, we better hurry up, we don't want to be caught sleeping. And as we came round the other side of the building, one of the Cubs or Scouts leaders came in and said, oh, hi, Chris, how's it going? I said, oh, we're just having a look at your building. But as soon as we got into the prayer meeting, we just thought, well, Lord, if this would be an asset for us in the community outreach, Lord, just lead us in that. And it was within months we got a letter from the Scout or Cubs owner saying that they were thinking of selling. They had a property developer in, probably had a lot more money than we did as a church, but they just felt led to offer us that opportunity. And that was a wonderful answer to prayer. Yeah. I know Maureen and others were really excited. Wow.
That's a huge benefit, you know, huge
wonderful benefit.
Blessing.
But of course, the other side to that, in terms of key things, was it was coming up to over Christmas, and we had to raise a considerable amount of money, you know. But people's generosity, I mean, over Christmas can be a difficult time financially. But we saw the funds required come in, and that was really exciting. But in the midst of prayer ministry and gifts of music coming forth, We had a preaching team, and it's always great as a pastor when you see people coming forward that get far better gifts than you, you know. I think of Ken Forrest and Eric Renfrew and Harry Graham. We had a preaching team, and if I'm rather selfishly, that allowed me to take the odd Sunday off as well too. But we saw these gifts develop, the prayer ministry team, through the help of Joyce Nicol, who runs the Caris Christian Counselling Centre in Fife. And once again, these were opportunities, like the music, for people in the congregation with gifts to explore the gifts or to come forward and see those gifts develop. And of course, through those gifts, everybody benefits. And so that was a wonderful time in terms of the prayer and the praise. The final thing I would say, I think, in terms of key points, is the word partnership. Steve Anderson was a good friend of mine and had come to me saying he felt a call to leave his church at Castlemilk and start something new. And we sort of prayed through that together, him and his wife Helen and I and Mary, and he felt led to begin a new prayer ministry. It would be prayer for the city. And so the church leaders, in terms of partnership, I joined the local fraternal anyway, which was great. We'd cycle together, pub lunches together, but we did do spiritual things together, might add. Out of that become Easter services together, you know, and sharing together. And of course, the fruit from that is, as we looked at youth ministry, we ended up with a joint youth ministry. We're still blessed through that current youth ministry, aren't we?
Yeah.
But the prayer for the city began, and just recognising that whatever we're doing as a church to be connected with God's kingdom ministry brings all sorts of blessings. And once again, people in the church rose to that. And after a few months, we had every day of the month covered in prayer, every hour of the day covered in prayer. And one significant factor in that period was that within 2 years, the crime rate in Glasgow dropped to its lowest for 26 years. And just to feel as a wee church that we were part of that, praying for God's kingdom blessing, was really, really exciting and wonderful. And that came out of prayer, but it came out of partnership. And as I alluded to earlier, the partnership thing, I think connecting with the Trinity Church, the United Free and the Episcopal Church and all these, not only was it a blessing for me as a pastor, because it can be lonely work as a pastor, but I think people in the congregation got to know others. And it's a time these particular things stand really afresh in my mind and heart.
Yeah, it's interesting because these things are in many ways what I read from that time as well, the working together, the Cat Community Partnership coming through that time, the gateway, the community hub that arose from all that, these are so significant for us now. And to see them taking place within that period and the fruitfulness of that now is fantastic. It's a huge blessing to us just now. So I affirm my thankfulness to what you enabled through that period. It's fantastic.
I think one other thing that just comes to mind as we're talking is as a pastor, no doubt, we before the Sunday, we maybe meet on the Saturday, or you go up to church at some point and pray. And I was in church one Saturday when a friend, Lucas Jenga, who'd been attending a church, and they brought a friend with him, a huge guy called Bishop John, first visit to Glasgow, and they decided to stay and pray with me in the church, and they prayed about ministry stuff and music and all sorts of nice things. But then Big John says, oh my goodness, he says, this place is going to become a place of healing. Now, he didn't say, you know, my ministry or our ministry. He said, this place is going to become a place of healing. And I thought that was strange. And again, it was some months later, although I'd be connected with Steve Anderson, who was doing the prayer for the city, Steve Anderson then had this vision to start the healing rooms. And we were the first church to be part of that. And so that came to pass as well, from just that prayer and Bishop John, who came and went. I've never seen him since, but this is going to become a place of healing. And it was lovely to see that on Thursday nights.
Yeah.
And many folks found incredible blessing through that time.
Yeah.
Some were miraculously healed, some left with the seemingly less answer to their prayer, but just the sense that God was watching over them. But to be part of that healing rooms that began as one church, in Kithcart Baptist Church, and within a couple of years was 52 healing rooms. It was lovely once again in partnership to be part of what God was doing in his kingdom.
Brilliant.